Well, now you're an important gaming musician. The last time you were just, you know, just a musician. Now you're branching out, right?
I popped all my eyes in the world of game music. Yeah.
Really? What's been going on? I'm not up to date with it.
Well, I'm NDA'd up to the hilt, so I can't really talk about it too much. But I am working on at least one game soundtrack, which is great. It's something I've always wanted to do. So it's the business. Yeah, I'm dead happy about it.
That's great. You should. Yeah, I mean, is it going to be out this year or, you know, sometime?
The main one I'm working on will probably not be out this year. There's high hopes for being out next year. There's another one which I might have some involvement with, to some degree, and it should be out this year, I think. So not too far in the distant future, you know.
Ooh, sounds good. Yeah, our boy's moving up in the world.
You'll have to come back.
I'm so proud.
Talk to us about it.
I promise myself I wouldn't cry.
Well, before we get properly stuck in, actually, I want to share something that someone who's working with me over at the Loadout said. He sort of just started and he noticed that we had a podcast, and he said that we're very professional, he likes our style, which he has a podcast of his own, but I'm not sure if he's just trying to butter us up. Or if it's true, because
I'm sure it's legit.
I don't. I mean, professional. Don't use professional.
I mean, we barely remember how to record each time that we do something. I mean, each time we have to go. Oh, what was it that we were supposed to do? To record something? Oh, yes, maybe we have to record. Yes.
So, all right. This is something I want to clear up as well. Your name is Pete. Right.
Yeah, it is. There was some discourse about it last time, but yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Right, yes, because I've become so confused because Damiano, obviously in the last episode we had you on, got it completely wrong, and now I'm just very confused all the time about it.
I'm happy to let it kind of be an eternally revolving thing, you know, a revolving door of names.
I've also been slightly confused. Also, that's why I mostly avoided calling Peter by his first name in all the other times that we spoke. I always said either AC or Alpha Chrome because I was sure I was going to get it wrong. So, you know.
That's all right. I won't take offense.
All right, Pete. Okay, I remember it this time, promise.
All right, well, I guess we're here for an episode on the Yakuza games, because it's something you both love very much, and I also like a lot. And my first thought, actually, I was thinking about this earlier, before we started, but... So, Pete, you seem to really like food. You seem to be good at cooking, right? From your Twitter. And then I kind of correlated that.
I hope that was to do with my Twitter and not just my appearance. You
know? Oh, right.
It's like the time a friend of mine told me that... A friend of mine said to me, you look like you'd be good at darts, which I think is No, I appreciate that very much. That's very kind of you. I do very... I very much like food and cooking, yeah.
Yeah, because you're always posting delicious-looking food. And I have to stop myself liking everything because then I look like a kind of fangirl. But I'm like, oh, this is really nice. And then I kind of realize, though, that the Yakuza games have delicious looking food in them. Yep. You know, and one of your latest, you know, music pieces that I liked a lot was heavily sort of Japanese themed. So how did that all mesh together? I mean, is Japan somewhere you've been, or because I know Damiano.
You know, it's somewhere I haven't been. It's somewhere I'm very keen to go. We've had friends who've lived out there for a while, and we planned to go and visit them, but then the pandemic happened and they moved back home, so we can't do that anymore. But my wife and I are very keen to visit there, partly because of the food and for a million other reasons. But you're quite right. I mean, when I started playing the Yakuza games, the first one I played was Yakuza 0. And there's so much I love about it. I'm sure we'll get into all of that. But the food and the drinks, I thought, was just so cool. There's something so nice and cozy about going to these kind of semi-real world locations in the game and just hang out and eating fun stuff with Kiryu and the gang. And it felt really nice. It made me feel, you know, not like I was there, but, you know, not far off it. And it inspired me a lot and continues to inspire me to try different food and drinks in the game. I mean, I spent ages a couple of weeks back trying to replicate the chicken sandwich out of, oh shit, what's the chicken place called in it? Is it Wild Buffalo, did I imagine that? Wild Jackson. Yeah, so definitely the food in the game is something that, it might not be the very best thing about it for me, but it's certainly up there, you know. It's something that I love very deeply and try to involve in my IRL day-to-day life as much as possible.
Yeah.
I've actually been to Japan like 3 times, if I remember correctly. And the Yakuza games are actually a fairly, I mean, it's exaggerated, of course, because it is. But they're a fairly accurate representation of the way that Japanese relate to food and drinks. Because, they might not eat as much as we do. Talking about, you know, portion size and everything. But they're really, really, you know, they have quite attention to detail. So they like the plates to look good. Although this kind of very small attention to detail, you know, very small things. And yes, the lots of good food and stuff. Actually, I did not try an highball when I was in Japan, which features a lot in the Yakuza games. But yeah, if I ever go back, I will be sure to try an highball. I actually hadn't played the Yakuza games before I went to Japan, but yeah. But yeah, it feels like being there sometimes playing the Yakuza games. They're a very, very accurate representation of how it feels, how it all relates to lots of drinks, lots of good food, and also karaoke, which we'll get into later, maybe.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, I started backwards with my Yakuza life. Like, I didn't play the series until Zero. And then I've kind of been going all over the place with it. Is it the same for you two, or did you both start with the originals on the PS2? Or
I'm the exact same boat. I started with Zero after a cool friend of mine, James Stocks, had recommended it. Actually, partly because of the food as well, as funny as you say. But yeah, I started with Zero and then kind of worked my way, probably similar to the way you just described, I worked my way through a couple of them, the Kiwami versions, and then I dipped into different sort of mixtures of the originals and the spin-offs like Judgment and stuff, and the most recent one I played was the most recent one, Like a Dragon, which criminally I actually haven't finished. I've got it on the last boss. It's been sitting there for months, so maybe after this tonight may be the night where I finally do it. But yeah, it sounds like we've had similar Yakuza journeys. How about you, Damiano?
I'm fairly similar to you guys. I think the first one I played was probably 6, if I remember correctly. I think it was one of the games that they gave on PlayStation Plus, like years ago, if I remember correctly. I don't know if I'm 5 or 6. But yeah, I played it a bit, but I didn't really get into it. I don't remember. I was playing something else at the time, so I didn't like invest a lot of time with it. But so the moment that I really got invested into the series was with that Yakuza 0. So again, it was pretty similar to you guys. 0 was the moment that it clicked. The moment that it was like, whoa, I'm going to play every titles in the series basically from now on. So yeah, I think 0 is a good starting point. I mean, I've read people that say, oh, you're supposed to play all the games in order, blah, 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 in the order that they came out because it makes more sense. And what, I don't know, whatever. But yeah, I mean, it's a good starting point. I mean, it's a good balance of the game and it requires no previous, you know, knowledge of the series. And yeah, it's a pretty good starting point, I think. That's the one.
Something I quite liked is that I played like, the Kiwami version, the extreme versions of 1 and 2 after 0. And since they did the updated ones, obviously they put stuff in it that now relates to Zero, like Pocket Circuit Fighter and stuff appears in them. I think that's really cool. I mean, it's a nice way to kind of retroactively make the sequel be a prequel that works and stuff. So for that reason, I think Zero is arguably the best place to start. But maybe I'm biased just because that's what I did. Sorry, I can hear my dog out there, I think.
No, I think you're right, though. You know, I think Zero is a good place to start because, I don't know, it just is very stylish and it's set in the 80s, right? So it's just, like, money everywhere and, like, big collars and, I don't know. Yeah, I think maybe starting with Kiwami is probably the wrong thing because it's kind of jarring once you've played Zero to go and play those.
Mm. Yeah. I also think there's something about Yakuza in the 80s, especially the 80s in Japan, that just gels together perfectly. I don't know how you feel, but it just works great.
Yeah, I definitely agree, especially like you said, Jesse, with the money everywhere. The first time I beat a man down with a bicycle and just millions of yen flew out of him, I just knew it felt like coming home. I mean, not that that's something I do in my day-to-day life, but maybe it is. Bicycle beatdowns on the main streets of Belfast.
Yeah, it's all coming out now.
You know. The infamous bike beatdown of Belfast of 84. Yeah, you know, everyone remembers that. So would you say, actually, both of you, that Yakuza 0 is still your favorite? Or would you prefer any other titles in the series? What do you think?
Me, personally, it is still my favorite, but it's very close. With Like a Dragon. It's really, really close for me. I expected to enjoy Like a Dragon. I didn't expect to completely love it the way I do. And, you know, obviously it's a different location than the iconic Kamurocho and stuff. So it feels like, obviously, it's very different in terms of the gameplay. But what is the same for me with the way that Like a Dragon, I think, is so similar to Yakuza 0 is in terms of, like, it's such a kind of naff thing to say, but its approach to kindness, it feels like a warm-hearted game more than the rest of them. And like, sometimes to me, Like a Dragon and Yakuza 0, to some degree the rest of them, just feels like a being nice simulator, you know? It's a doing the right thing simulator a lot of the time. I think that Like a Dragon does it in a much grander way than Yakuza 0, but Yakuza 0 still is my favourite. I mean, it's going to be very hard to knock that off the top spot for loads of reasons. But Like a Dragon comes close, damn close.
I completely agree. They're my two favorites, and it's really hard to pick between them because, like you, I wasn't expecting to like a Dragon as much as I did. And I actually like the location change. Is I don't know. There's something about, you know, down, you know, it's based on Yokohama. I can't remember what it's called in the game. And then you have, like, the RPG mechanics instead of the fighting mechanics. Mm-hmm. And I saw a lot of people sort of bounce off that and say it's not a Yakuza game, but I think it is. I mean, yeah, I can see where they're coming from. It can get a little tedious, but it's also more relaxing than having to mash the buttons all the time and switch between styles. And I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, at least for me, at the beginning, Like a Dragon didn't really click. Like, it took a while for me to really get into the game, like maybe 4 or 5 hours. So at the start, I wasn't really invested. It took a while to get into the... I didn't mind the basically the new, like, Dragon Quest-like combat style. I think it was okay. It was a nice change of pace. But overall, the characters maybe a bit took a while for me to get into. But still, I wouldn't say it's my favorite, really a contender. Probably would be my third place as a favorite. Probably, I don't know, maybe my first would still probably be Yakuza 4, I think. Or was it 5? I don't know. I never remember. But, yeah, no, 4. Yeah, 4. Yes. I don't know, because it was, again, one of the first I played, because basically after I played 0, I went right back to 4 and played it back to 0. And yes, somehow I appreciated it more. So yeah, it's almost a tie-in between 0 and 4 and then Like a Dragon right after that. But you know, actually I've never played Lost Judgment. I don't know if you guys have played it, but I've heard good things about it, but never played it.
I played the first one. I think there's a second one now. I think there's a sequel, or at least if it's not out, it must be out soon, but I think it is out. Yeah, it's one of those games I played and I really loved. But I had it on PS4. I think it's a PlayStation exclusive, is it? I don't think it's on PC yet, maybe. I play PC so much more than I play consoles. So I started it, and then I just got distracted by something else on the PC and never finished it. But that's not a slight on the game. I mean, I thought Children was really cool. But it did feel odd actually being in Kamurocho and stuff with a different character. Not in a bad way. I mean, it still felt like coming home to some degree. And it's a cool game. Didn't quite grab me the way the rest of them have, probably. But I don't think that's a slight on the game itself. It's maybe just me and my particular habits. That sounds like I'm describing something really perverse. It's not meant to be. I just sounded like a serial killer or something. No, I think it's really cool, and I must go back to it. So I probably didn't really give it a fair shot. I did enjoy what I played of it.
Yeah, I played the first Judgment a little bit, and I've been playing the sequel, which is called Lost Judgment. And you don't actually need to play the first one all the way through to get the sequel. And I would actually recommend trying the sequel, probably, because I was like you. I played, you know, some of the first one and then thought, just kind of other stuff got in the way. But the second one is set all around a high school and helping out different kids in different high school clubs, as well as doing other things. And while that sounds boring or maybe slightly strange, you know, you can only get away with that in Japan, but it's actually really entertaining. So I'd definitely give it a go. It's that one's up there with Like a Dragon and Zero as well for me.
All right, sounds good. So what would you say is the thing that you guys like the most about the series? Is it the setting, the characters? I don't know, the fact that it never takes itself very seriously. I don't know. What do you think is the best quality about it? I've been thinking about it a bit, but yeah, I would like to hear your thoughts.
It's kind of a tough one to answer for me because there's so much about it that I love, from, like you say, from the setting to the characters to its approach. I think for me, it mostly boils down to the fact that there's really nothing else quite like it out there. It's very unique, and it's uniquely something that I just love. I mean, sometimes I'm playing these games and I kind of can't believe they exist, because it feels like it's so perfectly tailor-made to my interests and to what I like, to the degree that it feels like something that's fallen out of my own brain. Not that it's something I could ever come up with. I mean, my own brain would not be able to do that. But it just feels like a magic trick how much it just feels so right. And I used the phrase earlier, it feels like coming home. And to me, it does. Obviously, I've never been to Japan, as I mentioned. It's not my home. But there's something about the warmth and the kindness of those games, and the sort of the mixture of the excitement of the sort of, you know, underground crime world plots mixed with the very silly sub stories and stuff. I love that. I love this kind of smashing together of genres and stuff. And it's fine to be one kind of game one minute and a different kind of game another. And not many games do that, I think. And certainly there's no other game I can think of, or no other series or franchise I can think of, that does it quite like those Yakuza games, and I just love them to bits because of it. How about you, Jesse?
Yeah, I think I there's something in it like it's intangible, right? Like it all meshes together so perfectly. Like you say, it is the kind of underworld, seedy crime, you know, gangster type thing, but it's also the Japanese setting, like. You couldn't set that game anywhere else in the world. Like, you just wouldn't believe that a bunch of men go around beating each other up all day, you know, in the street, and, like, that's kind of where it ends. Nothing else happens, and, I don't know. There is something kind of warm about it. I often think, strangely enough, because it is a game about just beating people up, it's a good game to play when you're not feeling good, you know, when you're a bit down, maybe. Like, just exploring the world, it kind of takes you, you know, it takes you to Japan, really, you know, and to another place, and you know, just kind of standing in a convenience store and listening to the little jingly music and people talking on the street, and it really does just take you somewhere else. Mm-hmm. What about you, Damiano?
Yeah, I think both are pretty good answers. I would say that overall they do the mafia, you know, Godfather / Soprano, I don't know, whatever, kind of story. And yeah, they do it fairly well, but they add that very kind of special Japanese flavor to it. So that very special kind of, you know, all the meaning of friendship and the heavy drama, you know, the drama that sometimes goes that little bit over the top, that it's, well, you still appreciate it because it's, yeah, it's very dramatic, you know, very, no, you know, all that kind of exaggeration. But you love it for that. I mean, you know that it's going for that kind of beats, narrative beats. And yeah, you appreciate it, especially for those reasons. So yeah, I think it's a little bit everything that basically makes the soup, the Yakuza ramen, maybe. Yeah, more the soup.
Hey.
Yeah, for example, I was thinking just today about Yakuza, because yes, we have Pete here. So I was thinking about the music in the Yakuza games. And I was thinking, well, it's not really that much music per se. I mean, the soundtrack, you know, the average soundtrack to a Yakuza game is basically just a lot of generic hard rock, just throw them in. Yeah, nothing that I would say is memorable. But then you get to the karaoke songs, and those are fucking amazing. I mean, yeah, you really want to be there with those guys that, you know, that all serious and all, yeah, macho kind of Japanese guy. Then they go all emotional, and they go all in on a romantic songs in karaoke, and they get drunk and they sing together. And then, of course, they have all kind of special effects. And yeah, I remember jet planes and all that crazy stuff. And yeah, I think that's basically the gist of it. That, you know, that the fact that Yakuza can go both ways over the top, both in the dramatic sense and both in the comedic sense. They're not afraid to try, experiment. Also features all kinds of things that are, you know, for Japanese culture, are still not that much accepted, for the transvestite and all that, you know, LGBT sort of stuff that Japanese culture still kind of struggles with, maybe more than us. But yeah, they're not afraid to add things in it, experiment and throw crazy stuff, see what happens, you know, chickens, whatever. Everything works. Yeah, strangely enough, everything works. And you love it for that. I mean, you can't help but love it.
Well, you mentioned the chickens. There's the lobster in like a dragon, right? That comes out of the thing and attacks that guy because he wants to eat it. But yeah, you know, I'd like to get Pete's take on the music in the series, because that's something I was thinking about. And you do make a good point. There's not a lot of music in a traditional sense, but there is quite a lot of a music, you know, as it's kicking off and, you know, you're fighting in the streets and, you know, you've just kind of got this pounding soundtrack. I was just wondering if maybe you'd taken any inspiration from that, or like just what your general thoughts are.
It's funny you should say, this is something, I don't think I've ever spoken about this in like any interview ever. Originally, when I first started doing Alpha Chrome Yale, basically, I was kind of like, I was just kind of exclusively doing music inspired by Yakuza, because I started doing this about the same time as I was playing Yakuza 0. And you know, on my, I'm going to have to look, it was so long ago, I have to look up the names of them, but on like the first little record I did, like, I had, like, really sort of ostensibly, my first EP I put together, which, looking back, you know, it was very raw and rough. It's called Company Man. But I've got, like, tracks on it called The Customer is King, which is a reference to Dimajimo Goro in the nightclub. I've got Sotenvori Nights, which is obviously, like, a Yakuza 0 reference and stuff. I was kind of just doing music inspired by Yakuza. I mean, looking back, you know, I'm glad I made the music. It's not that great. It's sort of my sophomore attempt at making music. But it was the basis on which all the music I do now, I kind of started with that, which is quite something. But yeah, I love the music in the game. On one hand, as Damiano said, a lot of it's kind of background, kind of Sega Sound Team standard type stuff. Not that there's anything standard about it, because I think it's really well, it's incredibly well executed. But then you have... Well, you have the karaoke, which I'd love to talk about in a second, but you've got like sort of lovely kind of almost kind of over emotional like little piano melodies and stuff, and which I love. There's one in particular, kind of slightly goofy, slightly sad one that goes with the sillier sub stories and everything. As soon as you hear that music, you know you're gonna get your heartstrings tugged just a little bit, you know, but also maybe someone's gonna turn up in their underpants as well 2 seconds later, and I love that very deeply. I've recorded myself, but I'll send them to you both. I've recorded myself playing sort of like those little kind of non-diegetic bits of music that happen in the sub-stories because I love them. But the karaoke, Oh, baby, that is where the real meat is, as Damiano said. And exactly, there's something so special about these, you know, very serious guys who, on one hand, are very stern and often kind of quite pious or whatever, but they wear their emotions on their sleeves, and they wear them most when they're in the bar belting out those karaoke classics. And there's one in particular, again, I had to look up the name of it. I think it translates to just, I love you. It's in Yakuza 2. Not to give any spoilers, but it talks about Majima Goro and his relationship with his love interest from Yakuza 0. And man, it is heartbreaking. It is, if you ever want to look up the English translation of it, I thoroughly recommend it. Maybe slightly spoilery if you haven't played Yakuza 0, but if you have, that is a song that will hit you right in the heart. It's Majima Goro and his sort of simultaneously most kind of silly and over the top, but also kind of swaggering emotion and sadness. It's just a breathtaking song, and it's one that if I've had more than two glasses of wine, I will listen to in my kitchen. I might shed a small tear. If I have three glasses of wine, there might be a big tear.
Yes,
I just love it the best, and the same goes for the rest of the karaoke tracks on, and indeed all the song. Karaoke tracks on all the games, and indeed the kind of background music. I listen to those songs a lot. I'm inspired by them a lot, but more importantly than that, I just enjoy them. And if I'm cooking dinner, if I'm hanging out with my wife, or even if I have my friends on, I'll sneak them on in the background and hope people won't tell me to turn them off, because I love that music so much. Just so much.
Wow, I wasn't expecting that. I mean,
That's amazing.
It played such a big part in your career then, and
yeah, it's a weird thing because, you know, Alpha Chromeo is a large part of my actual career now. And, you know, that arguably wouldn't have happened without Kiryu and Majima and the whole gang. So, God bless him.
That's great. Yeah, and it's a great part of Japanese culture, I think, the fact that if you go like to a karaoke on maybe Saturday, Friday, you see those kind of, you know, very salary men, basically all still dressed up in their suits, and they're drunk out of their minds, and they're singing this, yeah, maybe kind of silly, I don't know, at least for our years, kind of silly emotional songs, and they're I haven't seen them crying, but yeah, they're very, very emotional. You're like, what the hell is going on? Because yeah, you know, for us, yeah, you don't see those kind of people at karaoke, provided you actually have a karaoke in your town, which is just something kind of rare to find. But yeah, it's amazing. And that's basically the same thing in Yakuza, as you said, Pete. And all those guys that have to put up like a tough front, and then they go to the karaoke bar and they just let go. And that's what happened. But yeah,
you guys enjoy karaoke? I gotta know. Are you karaoke fans?
If you ever go to Japan, I mean, of course I'm a karaoke fan, but if you ever go to Japan, do a karaoke. I mean, that's mandatory. It's not even a touristic thing, you know, where people will say, oh, it's not. It's actually, it's a pretty big part of the culture. I mean, do it because it's so fun. Of course, I mean, if you have like four or five people, yeah, it's more fun. But yeah, if you're drunk, that's even more fun. Yeah, drunk is probably mandatory. There's probably a sign saying, if you're not this drunk, or maybe not this drunk, you can't enter, but something like that. But yeah, It's very much recommended. And yeah, I remember last time in Tokyo, I did the karaoke, and I remember half of it because I was completely drunk at the end of it. But yeah, it was, as much as I remember, it was great fun. Yeah, I kind of regret the hangover, but yeah, everything else was great. So
I'm going to reveal that I've never done karaoke.
Boo!
No!
But I can feel like this is where our you know, eventual in-person episode is going to come in, where we'll take a trip to Japan to follow in Kiryu's footsteps.
Yes.
I mean, karaoke is hard to come by here. There are a couple of bars that have it and stuff now and again, but yeah, actually specific karaoke bars, very hard to come by. I think last time I did it was in London, in like a Japanese place. Which was great, you know, as Damiano said, there was loads of booze, and it seems to be kind of a prerequisite. I'm sure it's not, but I enjoyed that. You know, there was a button, I remember in the karaoke booth, I was there with my wife and my friend and his wife. Were we married then? Can't even remember. Probably not. There was like a little button that just said drinks and nothing else above it. I thought, oh, I wonder what happens if I press this button. I pressed the button, and a man opened the door and said, drinks? I thought, this is where I want to be. So I'm a very bad singer, but I enjoy it. I mean, most of my music, I don't sing a lot. I very rarely sing a lot, because I don't think I'm a great singer. But I'm a decent karaoke-ish.
Well, I think I of course, I can remember what the fuck I sang, but I'm pretty sure I sang Mr. Brightside by The Killers, which I had never sung before in my life, and I haven't heard it in like 10 years, so I was very much, you know, just struggling through alphabet. But yeah, it was decent. And I think drinks, at least in Japanese karaoke, are all included. They're like, they bring, you know, as long as you're there, they bring you drinks. And that's, of course, what's the problem with me getting drunk out of my mind, because I really I like 5 sake before going into the karaoke. So that was like another 4 beers. So I was like, bruh.
That sounds like prime karaoke territory. I just remembered I did win a karaoke night. Well, me and my friend, we did a duet of, oh shit, what was it? I think it was Mama's Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Cowboys by Willie Nelson. I think my friend was Willie Nelson and I was, oh Jesus, what's his name? William Jennings. I think we did win, but I think there was maybe only like 2 other people in the contest. So it's not saying a lot, but yeah, I think that was the last that was the last karaoke song I sung. Maybe I'll do better next time.
Yeah. Okay. Then we'll have to book a karaoke room for 3. That's for sure. We have to drunk karaoke, and then we got also Virgin Jesse that we have to, you know, introduce to the world of karaoke, and yeah.
Oh boy, I can see this going well.
Yes, that's okay. That's done. That's the plan.
You know, we touched on something there that you were talking about, you know, the Majima song making you emotional. And that made me realize that, you know, Yakuza 0, he's very much a normal person compared to the rest of the series. And I don't know, I mean, I really liked that. And I kind of, it really, I think if you play them the other way around, like, you know, how people think you should, you kind of lose that, because you don't, you just kind of see him as this madman first. Yep. Whereas if you play 0 first, you kind of empathize with him before knowing what he's, you know, becomes. And I just wanted to get both of your takes on that and what you think of Majima in general.
I completely agree. Yeah, and to some degree, I think I'm sure I'm not alone in this. I love Crazy Majima, but sometimes I miss, you know, Yakuza 0 Majima. I want them back. But of all the reasons I would like a Yakuza 0 0.5 or something, I would just like a little bit more of that kind of, you know, slightly broken Majima before he loses his mind entirely. Just, you know, very human and slightly broken and kind of weird. I mean, don't get me wrong, I love, like, weirdo construction era Majima. I love the snakeskin jacket and all that. But I do kind of miss him, at least just before he completely kind of, his mind completely snapped. I'll take any Majima going, don't get me wrong. You know, the more Majima content, the better. But I would just like a little bit more of that that special Yakuza 0 Majima, because he makes me very happy and slightly sad all at once. And hey, what's better than that?
Yeah, 100% there. I agree. Yeah, I was lucky because, as you guys, I basically got introduced to Majima as he was still normal person. Then, and I mean, I wasn't really aware of the reputation of Majima being this, you know, this weirdo. So playing Yakuza 0, so yeah, he's like a normal guy. I mean, what's going on with this reputation? But then, of course, I got it later. But yeah, I agree. It would be interesting to see maybe a side story or something like that. Small, like a small thing centered on Majima before, like, he lost his mind completely and, you know, went Giryu-san all the time. So, yeah,
That was very good.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, I'm a voice actor now, so yeah, I did the voice acting for that video game. You know, like, you know, I recorded like 10 insults, so yeah, I'm a voice actor now. Yeah. So anyway, yes. So I would very much be interested in seeing new story of Majima still being a human. Because, yeah, I think there's, at least for me, there's nothing more interesting as seeing, like, you know, big, like, rise and fall of characters that you can follow, like, for, I don't know, like, 5 or 6 seasons of a TV series or something. So, with Majima, we basically got just one game, then you got all the other games where it's already kind of, you know, kind of out there, crazy. And so, yeah, maybe we need a little more time before it's, like, completely Office Rocks or something.
Yeah, I would definitely like another prequel game. But, you know, we touched on side stories there. Either of you play many of the side stories compared to the main sort of missions? Because I think that's where a lot of the Yakuza personality lies. Like, there's a side mission in Like a Dragon where you burst in and all those guys are in diapers. And they have that weird fetish where, like...
That's the best.
Yeah, and I just thought that this is what makes the series, you know?
I completely agree. I mean, I mentioned that sort of warmth and kindness and heart. And for me, 99% of that is in the sub-stories. That's when you're going to see something like something very strange like that. Or at least, you know, it's not, I'm not saying that's a strange thing. People can do whatever they want. But it's a little bit out of the what people might encounter in their day-to-day lives. A room full of, you know, Japanese gang members in underwear or in nappies. But the likes of Kiryu and Majima and Ichiban, they'll humanize that and make it something kind of... they'll make it wholesome and they'll make it very human and real. And that's for me, that kind of is what Yakuza is all about. I know Damiano had mentioned earlier on that there are elements of some of these games that for a Western audience might seem kind of problematic and stuff. And I know historically the games have got criticism for the treatment of trans people and stuff, which is obviously very valid. But I've noticed, I think maybe it might have changed in recent times a bit, and these elements might have been added in afterwards. There are especially sections where Kiryu is talking to sort of people who come from different walks of life than he's used to. But he'll say, no, you know, our problems are the same, our experiences are the same to some degree. You're coming from a different place than I am. But what makes us human and what makes us good people and stuff, that's kind of all the same. I think that's a really good message and stuff, and that's all buried in the sub-stories for me. Also, they can be very, very silly and very, very funny. I mean, you know, I'm not above laughing my ass off at like a trouser thief or something like that, you know. I'm going to find that very funny. They're silly and they're ridiculous. But, it's where you're going to see the most ghosts in the game for a start. I think every single Yakuza game has at least one sub-story ghost and stuff. And I like that, you know. I think that's fine that these can coexist alongside the main story. But, you know, if I had to pick, obviously I like both those worlds existing, but if I had to choose either a shitload of sub-stories or just the main story, I'm taking the sub-stories every time because I just love it. And for me, that's kind of what the game almost is. I think both elements need each other to kind of coexist, but it's still my favorite bit.
Yeah, I think over the course of the series, you can see that the writers really like to branch out with the side stories. But if you look at the sub-stories in, like, Yakuza 3, they're not that much to play. They're not that creative. They're not even, like, wholesome messages. They're like, you know, oh, my son disappeared, find him. You know, that usual, like, kind of, yeah, low-rate RPG stuff, basically. So, yeah, nothing much interesting. But then... probably, you know, the writers decided that they would like to explore more the experimental sides of the stories in the... And yeah, that was, of course, a great decision. And I also like to take the opportunity to praise the localization team because they did some wonderful work on the games, especially. I mean, I know that Kiwami, you know, they reworked the localization a bit. They improved it. Also, I think in the remaster, they did some modification here and there. But yeah, that's some amazing work by the localization. And there's one sub-story in particular that I remember now. I don't remember which Yakuza was it from, maybe 4 or 5. I don't remember which one. The one that features the Michael Jackson talent. I wouldn't say look-alike, but yeah, you know, that clearly, you know, the Michael Jackson clone, which I'm curious to know if it was basically the same in the Japanese original, because I don't know, is Michael Jackson still that famous in Japan that you could go for that kind of reference and everyone would just get it? I have no idea, frankly, that, on that. No clue. But yeah, it's, you know, it's stupid. It's fun. Yeah, it's great. It's just, you know, a little bit of fun. And then you got wholesome stories. And yeah. What do you think, Jesse?
Yeah, I pretty much agree with both of you. You know, I think the sub-stories are where a lot of the really interesting things happen. And, you know, it's funny that Pete mentions a ghost because they carry that on into Lost Judgment and the Judgment games about the ghosts. But I think Pete also brought up a really good point about kind of the representation of people, which you wouldn't expect from a game like this. And that really, I think, culminated with with like a dragon and Ichiban's story, where, you know, early on he gets like left for dead, dumped out into the trash, and you know he gets saved by a bunch of homeless people, and has to live like them and kind of put aside his airs and graces. And I think that's why I love that game so much. Just, you know, how they take him in and they don't kind of ask why he's been dumped there or anything, and they just, you know, I don't know, that game got some flack for how it portrayed homeless people, but I think, you know, it was pretty sympathetic and kind of humanized them to a great extent. That, you know, finding out stories about how they were just normal people, you know, there's just because they're homeless, they're not some kind of deviant or they're not stupid because they are homeless.
I think it did an interesting balance because it wasn't like, you know, all homeless people are good, you know, all homeless are generous. You got some bad apples, of course. That's normal. That's expected. So I think, yeah, it struck that good balance between, you know, realism, but also giving, you know, a nice, wholesome portrayal of homeless people. Pete, what's your take?
Yeah, I really agree. I think that's something that, as you just said, I think that's something where it really excels, is that it's a series, especially that game. It'll say, you know, there's not a lot of kind of black or white stuff. You know, every kind of faction in the game will have its people who are, you know, good or bad, or more often kind of somewhere in between. I mean, you'll get someone in the game who might seem like a total dickhead, but maybe they're not actually quite such of a dickhead, and it'll reveal a little bit about why they think the way they do and where they've come from and stuff. Yeah, it's definitely a series I think has had, you know, problems with its sort of representation and stuff in the past, but I think these days it's doing a pretty bang-up job of, as far as I can see. Other people's mileage may vary, but I think it does a pretty great job about telling these human stories and about, more often, finding connections between what makes people similar rather than what makes people different. I think that's a real cool thing. They managed to do that and still have, you know, good people and bad people and weird grey areas and stuff. And I think it does a pretty bang-up job. I mean, there's always room to improve and stuff, but hey, it's a game and it's made by humans and people try and do the best they do. And I think that's a very Yakuza message too. So, yeah, good stuff.
Did you have anything else, Damiano? Because there was one last thing I wanted to talk about.
Go ahead.
Which is just, you know, to do with the future of the series. I mean, there's been so many Yakuza games now. And, mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking like 20 years worth of them. And now, you know, you have the two Lost games, the two Judgment games. I mean, are you bored of Yakuza? And if not, where... I mean, should they make any more? And where would you like to see Ichiban's story continued, or something, you know, somewhere else in Japan maybe? Or do you think they can kind of just keep up with the formula?
Me, I would love to see them do it. I know some of the people, like the original creators, kind of stepped away and stuff. But I'm really excited to see more. You know, I wasn't one of these people who thought, when they announced the kind of the RPG mechanics of Like a Dragon, I wasn't one of these people who went, hey, no, I've never touched that again. That sounds like dog shit or whatever. But I was skeptical. You know, I thought, is this going to be something I'll enjoy? And it's something I really, really enjoy. So, you know, I'm happy to be surprised, and I would love the games to be made forever. I'm not saying it has to be set, you know, in one particular location or have, you know, the same people forever. A lot of the stuff in kind of with like the old guard of Majima and Kiryu and stuff, and like a dragon, when they turned up, it did feel a bit like a swan song, like we might not see that much of them anymore. I'm fine with that, you know, but I'm also fine if they make 20 more games revolving around Majima and Kiryu. Something I would like to see, though, is something like the Japanese only, like Japanese only titles that have come out. I always forget the names, like Ishin and stuff, the kind of stuff, the more historical stuff, featuring kind of the same cast but a different context. I'd love to see those games get an English release, but I'd also like to see more of them. You know, I think there's something wrong with sort of taking these characters that we know and love and maybe putting them in a different kind of context, or indeed come up with completely new ones. For me, as I've kind of mentioned already, the success of these games comes from the kind of the sense of heart, and also the kind of, as we all talked about, the kind of taking us somewhere to a new location and doing a really good job of kind of making us feel like we're going on a trip there and we're hanging out in these weird fun places with these strange eccentric people. So as long as that can be kind of held onto, which I'm certain it can, I'll play them forever. They're the best games, and I love them to bits, and long may they reign.
While you were asking the question, Jesse, you know what I was thinking of? I was thinking of the Phoenix Wright games.
Right.
And I was thinking, you know, at this point, basically, Yakuza is more of a than just, you know, Yakuza gameplay, the way that we imagine, just, you know, going around and kicking the shit out of everyone, basically. It's basically more of a universe. You got the characters, you got the feel, you got, you know, the food, the drinks, karaoke, and yeah, it's really a universe. It's got its rules. So I think it works. I think it can easily be translated into other, yeah, styles of gameplay, as Like a Dragon, I think, showed pretty well. And but also other, you know, eras, other settings, maybe. And that's basically what the Phoenix Wright games have done. They're, you know, they brought there's that couple of games of from the, you know, the with the Phoenix Wright ancestors that I don't think have been released in English. They've been released like 10 years ago, maybe, at this point. I don't think those have never been translated in English, so they've never been released in the West. But yeah, you know, the latest like couple of games that they combined and released on the Switch, that they go back in time. They worked. The settings were, because the rules were basically the same as the Phoenix Wright universe, even though it didn't really feature any of the characters from the universe. But yeah, everyone liked it. I liked it. I think it was fine. So I think it could be interesting to see something similar for the, you know, for the sequels, prequels. I don't know. You know, the following games in the Yakuza style, maybe not really the series, in the style. Because I think they got something there that can be, you know, reused in interesting ways, that just doing, you know, just over and over the Majima story or the Kiryu story, which at this point I think it's pretty much done. I mean, it can go on forever because, you know, people get tired. Yeah, that's what I mean. I, for example, for me, I played a lot of the Yakuza like one after the other, so it got a bit tiring, I have to say, after a while. You know, just playing three Yakuza games one after the other was a bit too much Yakuza, basically, just, you know, Yakuza overdose. But yeah, I would like to see something different. What do you think? What do you reckon?
Yeah, I mean, they're great games, and I'd like to see some more, like like a Dragon, done in the RPG style. But I'd be happy to see any kind of Yakuza game, including, you know, like you both say, the release of the ones that never came west. I think it's a great series. Yeah.
Something I would love to see, I think I've seen one or two people online kind of mention this as like a dream project, is like a prequel featuring kind of all the bosses from Yakuza Zero, but we don't really see again. I mean, we see Kazuma, Kiryu's dad and stuff, like Kuzey and stuff, all these wild characters. We only ever get them in that one game. And I'd love to see like a prequel with these guys, like in the 40s and the 50s, kind of Godfather style, setting up the Tojo clan. Like these just fucking nut jobs, these huge characters like Kuze. Kuze's one of the greatest characters in the whole series, I think. He's got a gruff kind of, you know, smoked cigarettes made out of glass kind of voice, and you got Wano the party guy and stuff. I'd love to see a bit more of those dudes, you know, maybe with Tommy guns in the 40s and 50s, and they could cheese it up, they could make it dead serious, whatever way would work. I'd love to see a bit of that, because they're cool, tough guys, And it's a game that features a lot of cool tough guys, and I want more.
I think they're some of the best bosses, I think, those Zeros.
Sort of a Yakuza ancestors kind of thing, you know, kind of, I think you got something there. I would very much like to see it.
Hopefully Sega are watching and they'll hire us for their project and we can develop it.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Please, Sega, you know, in a way, you know, if you can pay us a trip to Japan, then we discuss the games. Even if you don't like it, don't worry. As long as the trip to Japan is there, we'll be fine, right, guys? I mean, we're simple guys. We don't want to be like just celebrated in games credits and stuff. Give us a trip to Japan, we'll be fine.
Perfect. That's great. I mean, if there's no further questions, let's hear where people can find all the good Alpha Chrome Yayo stuff.
Hey, thanks so much. I got to get the plug in. Alpha Chrome Yayo. God, I've got to look it up, don't I? Because I've got to make sure I say it right. Basically, Bandcamp is my musical home. So you can search, you can Google Alpha Chrome Yayo, and my face will come up doing all kinds of silly things and weird and wonderful things, I hope. But alphachromeyayo.bandcamp.com is where to go to get my hundreds of songs. It's my musical home, and it's the best place to get everything I do. There's loads of exclusive stuff available there that's not available on Spotify. From, you know, you'll get like my own homemade cookbook and stuff, and lots of bonus artwork and all kinds of things. It's also, if you follow me there, it's the best way to find out about things I'm up to, which I'm doing lots of weird and wonderful exciting things over the next year or two. Some of it I can talk about, some of it I can't. But yeah, follow me on Bandcamp, please. You'll make my heart grow three sizes in a nice Grinch way, not like a cardiac arrest kind of way.
And I think Damiano will agree that, you know, when you can talk about the projects you're working on, please come back. We'd love to have you again so we can hear all about it.
Of course.
Oh, I'd love to. I mean, I am allowed to say that I am working on at least one game soundtrack. Sadly, I can't tell you any more than that. But as soon as I'm allowed to, I would love nothing more than to talk about it, because I am very excited about it. It's with some really cool people, and I think we're gonna bring you something pretty cool. So I'd love to come back anytime. And you know, obviously I'd love to come back anytime just to hang out with you both, because you're a delight. It's a lovely way to spend my time.
You're too.
Arigato gozaimasu.
Perfect.
Man, number one voice actor.
How do you not have more work?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm out there. Hire me. You know, I'm available. Anything you need, insults, compliments, I don't know, songs, karaoke, The Killers, whatever. Yeah, I'm available. But also, I mean, just a quick reminder, our Alpha Chrome Yayo guy also does some cool stuff on Twitter, and he also does giveaways. So, you know, if you like free stuff, free music, is the guy to follow.
I do give away a lot of free stuff. That's true. Yeah. And I take a nice picture. I share some photographs there. I'm not a bad photog, I think.
Mm-hmm. Make me very hungry.
Not to hold my own trumpet too hard.
Yeah. We still had that, you know, that dinner invitation. So let's do like an hour.
Hey, open invitation. You're both welcome around for dinner anytime. Anytime. Night or day. Within reason.
Yeah, we'll bring the sake, so yeah.